What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by Moore Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. I am your host, Mark Moore, with my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And we are here with our special guest, Larry Ford, attorney at law. And he's been helping us look at things from his perspective because we look at it from one side of the fence and he sees what happens on the back side of the fence a lot of times. So we talked about liability before and why you don't want to have a low limit of liability and what can happen to you legally when you have a low limit of liability. Today we're going to talk about the different types of entities that an asset can be held. And we talked about an asset, we're talking about, you know, your home or maybe your business or land. Investment property, land. Mm-hmm. It's very important that we know as an agent who owns the property. Mm-hmm. Because you are not, if you have an LLC or a business entity, that is not you individually. Creating a, even a corporation is a different type of way to hold a property.
Right, because LLC usually has members, typically.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to give you an idea, like an example. I had a customer years ago that called me, and he's like, Mark, we have a house. Me and my mother own the property. It's in the LLC. Mm-hmm. I'm living there, and I've got my contents that I own, but the house is actually owned by me and my mother, and it's in the LLC. And so what I told him was, okay, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to write a policy in the name of the LLC, which matches the way the property is titled. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to write you a policy called an HO4 policy, which is basically a renter's policy that's going to be for your contents and also for your personal liability. Well, we didn't get the account. It got written somewhere else, and I'm fairly
sure. We didn't write it correctly.
Yeah, and I know it got written as a homeowner's policy. Mm-hmm. And the nature of a LLC, is limited liability corporation, is a not the same as you as being an individual. So what I understand was that I guess that was an issue down the road when it came to be claim time.
Because they did have a claim.
Yes. So, Larry, if I own a house or I own real estate or land, what type of entities can you as an attorney, you can help people, you know, form these entities? And what do you need? Or how do you determine what's the best way to maybe handle a situation when it comes to ownership? And what options do people have when you're looking at holding an asset?
Well, first of all, I've got to know whether or not it's a personal asset that is used for your personal purposes versus a business asset that is used in a business, mm-hmm. an ongoing business, or is it an investment asset, something that you're holding for future appreciation, future profit, but it's not involved in, you're not using it as your personal residence, you're not using it as a business asset, such as a store location for a business. So that's the first question. If it's a personal asset, such as a personal residence, since we're talking about real estate, then people are either going to hold that, whether it's North Carolina or Georgia, in a form of ownership, generally that if one of the spouses passes, full ownership is going to pass to the surviving spouse. Mm-hmm. In North Carolina, that would be through what's known as a tenancy by the entirety, which is a form of ownership where the deed has both spouses' names on it. It might say John Smith and wife, Mary Smith, or in other circumstances, it might just name two spouses without that nomenclature. What I often do, because I do a lot of estate planning, we often transfer the property into a living trust.
Yes.
Or potentially some other form of trust, but the living trust is the most common because it avoids probate. If one of them dies, the spouse, it's usually a joint trust with both spouses, and they can still share the benefits, the ownership through the living trust. What we do recommend, though, is that people get their insurance agent to change the policy to the name
and
may say John Smith and Mary Smith as trustees of the Smith Family Living Trust. Mm-hmm. And then I like to recommend, and this depends somewhat on the agent and the carrier sometime, is have them as individuals named as additional insureds.
Correct.
Yes, that's what we try to do.
If we know about it, and that's another thing. Sometimes we pull property cars and find out those things without being told by the actual insured.
Now, if it's an LLC for business and it's limited liability company, rather than it's not a limited liability corporation, that's a common thing that sometimes people say, but it's not a corporation. These days, you do not want to own real estate used in business in a corporation. The LLC, by far, is highly preferable both from an asset protection standpoint and for tax purposes, which are that ties in with the why you don't want to own it in a corporation. Since 1986, you do not want to have business real estate owned in a corporation, and it would be the contents of a whole another show or two to explain those tax differences. But so typically today, people will set up an LLC to hold that business property, both for asset protection purposes and for separating their personal assets from the business assets in case there's a lawsuit. But again, in that case, the insured should be the LLC.
Yeah, you did that for me several times because Larry has helped me with this because I have, Kathy and I moved out of our previous house, and Larry set me up a LLC that owns that house now. And of course, we had to change our insurance policy to reflect that as well. And then my father had decided to go ahead and give me the family farm, and Larry set up a LLC for that as well. And we have a separate insurance policy that is for that property, the land in a house that's a tenant house now, and that property is in an LLC as well. And I feel like it protects me from being
tenants living there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And something can happen we've had a show about that too, about your responsibility to a tenant as far as there's been lawsuits, against landlords from tenants, and it can mm-hmm. go like if there's some sort of problem with HVAC and they say it made them sick, or you can be liable for your premises when it comes to the safety and well-being of your tenant. If you cause them some sort of bodily injury or they allege you have, they can come back on you as well. So what you're saying is the LLC is going to kind of protect you individually from that claim, as they could only come back against the assets of the LLC and not you personally as easily if you have the entity formed, is what you're saying about the...
Yeah, it depends on the statute of the state that it's formed in. In North Carolina, there is some statutory language that tends to isolate the claim against the LLC just against those assets.
Yes.
There are other circumstances where you can muddy the waters, but that depends on a case-by-case basis and probably too in-depth to go into.
But you have a better chance of being able to defend yourself and keeping your assets separate if you've got the LLC versus having everything owned individually, because now you're all up for everything that you've got.
Right.
So the LLC protection is what we call that's a risk management process. And one of the first things is you're going to transfer the risk as an alternative maybe to an insurance company. Mm-hmm. But also forming this creates less risk for yourself as well, because you've actually, taken the risk away from you personally and transferred the risk to a LLC. And maybe if it's a business, we have a corporation for our business. We don't have a LLC for our business. It's under a S corporation. But the properties we own, we do have them in LLCs, how we're set up.
Right. A lot of business owners these days will separate. You may have a corporation as that's the actual business entity that carries on business.
That's what we do.
That's the ongoing business. The owners of that business who own the corporation, they may have properties that they own that they then lease through an LLC to their corporation. There's some tax advantages to doing that.
Yes.
And it also helps to isolate the potential liability if a customer falls on those premises to the LLC and not to them personally. So as far as the line of defense against lawsuits and claims, your first line of defense is a good business insurance policy.
Yes.
Second would be trying to isolate the assets against which the claim could be made to an entity like an LLC, which will help shield other assets. Yep. And then... after that, God help you.
You're on your mm-hmm. own, yeah. Well, very good, Larry. Thanks for reviewing this with us. We're going to be back over the break talking some more about how you can hold your assets and how you can protect yourself personally from a lawsuit. And typically, so we see a lot of slip and falls You know, you can be personally liable too for some things. We talk about that as well. So I am Mark Moore. I'm here with our special guest, Mr. Larry Ford, attorney at law, and here are my wife, Kathy. So thank you for my birthday yesterday, right?
Yes.
So I'm 51 now. So we will be back after the break on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and we have our special guest, Larry Ford, here today. We would like to let you know where our locations are. More Insurance Services has three locations. One is in Blairsville, Georgia, across from Home Depot, and across from the post office there in the South State Bank Building. Please come by and see Cindy, Greg, Ashley, and Shana to help you with your insurance needs. We also have another location, which is next to the hospital in Hiwassee. It's in a red brick Town Trace building. Come by and see Joanne. And lastly, we have our last location for More Insurance, which is actually located on U.S. Highway 64 next to United Community Bank. You can come by and see us there. That's our main hub. And we have a lot more folks there. So we have Rose and Diane, Vaughn, Mandy, Amy, Mark, and myself. We'd love to help you with your insurance needs. Please check us out on our Facebook page and our website, which is www.more-insurance.com. All of our podcasts are there on our website, as well as you can request a quote. We also have two more locations. One is called Mountain Insurance. It's a division of More Insurance. It's located in Murphy, North Carolina, on 64, right past the Arby's there. You can come by and see Emily and Velda to help you out there with your insurance needs. And lastly, our last location, which is in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's called Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. It's a division of More Insurance. You can come by and see Jeremy and Kathy. We'd like to help you there with your insurance needs as well. So again, check us out on our Facebook page and like us, and also our website to ask for a quote for you.
Great. Thank you, Kathy, and thank you again, Larry, for coming today. We really appreciate you being on the show with us.
Glad to be here.
Yep. So I've got a quick story. We were insuring people. We're talking about different entities and different ways you can hold assets, and this particular customer had three different entities. They had a condominium, and so the condominium association had its own, separate, I guess it was an LLC. Then they owned a unit, and that was owned by a different LLC. And inside that unit, they had a business, which is a different business. So they had three different entities working at one time. And I told them, I said, look, you're going to have a liability policy for each one of these entities. And they were like, well, wait a minute, I've already got liability. Why am I paying for it three times? But when we insure the fact that you own all of it doesn't mean that you own it. It means your LLC owns it. And they can be different entities. And so we had to actually write or have liability on three separate occasions because it was three separate LLCs. And that's kind of the way it was set up. So sometimes it does become more complex if you do have these entities and it's not you individually, but it's going to protect you when it comes, if you get sued by having different entities that protect those particular assets. So I am correct in that situation. Like each LLC has got to have its own liability policy because you've got to protect each one of the assets or each one of the LLCs. You can't just have one entity is insuring all three of them. It's got to be all the same. Now, sometimes we can add more than one LLC onto a policy.
It depends on the owner.
We have to know this beforehand. So LLCs, Larry, you said before the break, they're very prevalent nowadays. We see a lot of them when we're doing insurance. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to try to separate you personally from what you own. You know, if you have a slip and fall. What type of claims do you see, or what type of litigation do you see out there that's pretty common when it comes to owning a piece of land or a business or a premises? Would you say slip and fall is probably one of the most prevalent ones that you see, Larry, or somebody get injured on the property?
Well, for the typical business where you're inviting people onto the premises as your customers, as I said earlier, you have the highest duty of care. And the slip and fall would probably be the number one issue that you want to look out for. There can be other types of liabilities. If you're talking about, for instance, land, you might even consider it your personal land, and it's not even your house, your personal residence. If you've got what's known as an attractive nuisance,
yes,
on the, like it's an old farm pond, that is the typical example, mm-hmm. where the neighborhood kid, you know, comes through the fences and gets into the pond and then, you know, God forbid, drowns. Mm-hmm. You could be sued, even though you didn't invite the kid on, because it was known as an attractive nuisance in the law, and it's generally regarded that kids will be attracted to that. So you got to take some precautions, as well as having good insurance. So yes, right. It all depends on what type of land it is, where it is, what type of asset, what it's being used for, when you see what kind of claims are being filed.
Or a swimming pool, you know, that's why most insurance companies, like all of them, require the pool to be fenced, because, like you're saying, right. It's an attractive nuisance, and kids come over and they drown the pool, then you feel like you didn't do, you could be considered negligent because you didn't act to put a fence up, or, you know, it caused their...
What about a hunting situation? Like you have
land. We've had one time, Larry, we had somebody got shot while deer hunting, mm-hmm. and they were held, it was a claim, you know, they had to defend it. And
someone came on their premises and was basically.
That's a great question. So what if somebody's hunting on your property and there's a,
you know. And you haven't asked them to, or they haven't asked to be on your property, they just show up and start.
That's very common around here.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's the opposite of the. Invitee.
Right.
Yes.
The exactly. invitee is where you've invited them on your property, generally for business purposes.
Yeah, trespasser.
If they're a social invitee, like you invite them to your house, you know, for a dinner party, you still owe a higher duty of care than you would to the trespasser. Now, the trespasser is the one you owe the lowest duty of care to as a landowner.
Right.
But you're not totally out of the woods, because one of the things you cannot do is you can't just say, well, I'm tired of these people coming on, these trespassers coming on my land. I'm going to set up something that's going to take care of them. Because one of the classic cases we study in law school and in our torts class, which is personal injury basically, mm-hmm. is the old spring gun case,
yes.
where the farmer had a cabin that wasn't used by anyone, wasn't occupied, but these people kept breaking in and see if they could find something to steal. So he sets up a shotgun on a rope trigger that's tied to the front door. So
this does not sound good.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. This was an actual case.
Right.
You know, somebody came in, it triggered the shotgun, shot the guy, killed him dead or in 4 o'clock, as we used to say here in the mountains. But the guy got charged with murder and was convicted of either second degree murder or voluntary manslaughter. I can't remember which now. So you can't set up a trap.
Right.
That will either injure, maim, or kill someone, even for trespassers.
Right.
But if there's nothing like that, and they trip and fall, they're going to have a hard time recovering, in my estimation. But it would still be good to have a good insurance policy that would defend and provide for the defense cost in that civil lawsuit.
Right.
Even in workers' compensation, sometimes I'll tell customers it's good to have it just for the defense cost, because you may not be considered liable. You know, you got state laws about that. But the defense costs a lot of times is what's important in these situations, because, you know, you don't want to get a judgment against you, but you don't want to pay $100,000 to defend that you're right. You know?
Well, on that same subject, kind of, about people's livestock or their dogs, or their cow gets loose or something like that. I mean, there's issues with that too, if they don't maintain the fencing or what have you.
Let's say, Larry, that's a great, thank you, Kathy. Let's say that somebody's livestock gets, you know, the fence is in disrepair, the cows get out in the road, and somebody doesn't see the cow and causes an auto accident. I mean, that would be a good example of.
There is potential liability there. That actually happened to my mother
at one time.
And if you can show that the fencing was not maintained, that's negligence. And negligence is at the root of most personal injury claims. And if the plaintiff can prove the negligence, that the landowner did not maintain fences so as to keep the cattle enclosed, then there's a high likelihood of a judgment being rendered against them, depending on the makeup of the jury.
Right. Now, or even like a pet or someone, like a dog or something like that.
Now, going back to livestock, if you have a homeowner's policy, you do not have coverage for this unless you buy an endorsement to cover incidental farming liability.
Right.
Or you may have to get what's called a farmowner's policy to cover this, because your homeowner's policy will not cover that unless you buy special coverage for the situation. So let your agent know if you've got any type of livestock. Yes,
and here's the other thing. I had a case that involves both the homes and the dogs, where a lady had a homeowner's policy but then rented out her home. And she rented to people with dogs. And to make a long story short, since we're running out of time, there was a lawsuit that ensued, and she was she had to help participate in that in the payment of that claim. Let's put it that
way. We're going to have Larry back, and I'd love to hear more about that on the show. And, Larry, thank you so much for coming today. I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot going on. Thank you for coming to be our guest and giving us some information, because we don't get to see everything you get to see. I am Mark Moore, my wife Kathy, and on WJRB, Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.